It is the Big Wake Up Call. I'm Ryan Gatenby, and time for my next guest, who is a number one New York Times bestselling author of The Soul of an Octopus. We have a follow-up book here, Secrets of the Octopus, and we are going to chat with Cy Montgomery. And good morning. Welcome to the show.
Oh, thanks so much for having me on.
Now, I see that you are affectionately dubbed the Octopus Whisperer. Is this something you take to heart? Do you walk around kind of considering yourself that?
Well, no, but it's a wonderful compliment. I love octopuses, and I've been very lucky that all the octopuses that I have met in captivity, at least, are happy to come out and interact with me, and several of the wild ones I have met have been willing to interact. So I feel humbled and honored that someone as smart and talented as an octopus considers this mere human worthy of their attention.
Getting into the book, and as I read more and more, I'm looking at the gorgeous photography, and of course, the writing, I realize, you know, I think we grow up for years. The perception I have is like, oh, that's an octopus, as if there is just one kind. It's almost like you never go beyond kind of a cartoon definition of what an octopus is.
Right. That's so true. When in fact, there are hundreds of different species of octopus, and four new species were just reported this very winter. And they range from animals who, even as adults, never get bigger than something that would fit on the tip of your finger, to the giant Pacific octopus, the kind we usually see in aquaria, who in the wild have been known to grow to 300 pounds. There are octopuses who live in deep sea volcanic vents with boiling water. They're able to withstand that. There's others who live off the coast of Antarctica and actually have antifreeze in their blue blood pumping through their three hearts. So there's all different kinds of them, just like when you think of primates. You know, we're a primate,
right?
So is a little pygmy marmoset, and so is a lemur in Madagascar, and so is an orangutan in Borneo, and a mandrill in Africa.
Boy, how mind-boggling is it, or mind-blowing, that, you know, here we are, and we continue to find new species of octopus. I mean, just the way we continue to unlock nature while we're inadvertently trying to destroy it, I mean, that's a fascinating thing.
It totally is. Well, part of the reason that we're discovering more and more kinds of octopus is that there's more people on the earth and in the water than there ever were before. And there's more scuba divers out there in a position that they might meet an octopus. But when I was researching my first octopus book, most divers I spoke to, and this book I started on in 2011 and it was published in 2015, most divers never saw an octopus at all. And that doesn't mean they weren't right next to one. They just didn't see them. Because they can change color and shape, they can match their background, they can pour their boneless bodies into tiny openings and hide, and they can look like something else. There are octopuses, such as the mimic octopus, who can mimic a poisonous flatfish, or they can mimic a scary, spiny species that nobody would ever want to attack, or they can pretend that they are some kind of flounder, and it's so convincing that actual flounders will follow it around thinking he's a flounder. So no wonder it's been hard to study them. But now scientists are starting to figure stuff out. There's some new equipment, and our eyes are peeled. I think that our conception of octopuses as some like scary monster that you don't want to meet,
yes,
has changed into these superheroes who have so much to teach us.
It's interesting you mention that, because I was thinking it as I'm going through the book. Beside the cartoonish definition you get of an octopus, is we're kind of led to believe, oh, these are like fearful creatures of the sea that you'd never want to get next to.
Yeah, but I have made friends with octopuses. I've met octopuses in the sea, but I've also spent time with animals who lived in tanks in New England Aquarium. And these animals clearly, I mean, this has been tested. We know that they recognize individual humans and remember their faces. We know that from experiments outside of anything I ever did. But the octopuses who I got to know looked forward to hanging out with me because we liked to do the same things together. They like to play just like humans do. They play with the same toys our children enjoy. They like to play with Mr. Potato Head and with Legos. They like to solve puzzles. And they enjoy gentle touch. So like our dogs and cats and horses, they like it if their friends will stroke them. And I would often do this with my octopus friends. They like to play games, and they also enjoy sharing a meal with you. So, you know, you can hand them a delicious shrimp, and they'll enjoy the company while they're having their little treat. So there's lots of ways to make friends with an octopus.
Does that seem like an unusual intelligence for a sea creature, or are we just not really getting into, you know, other creatures and, you know, what they can and can't do and maybe kind of understand what they're thinking?
Well, what a good point, Ryan. I mean, sure, you're absolutely right. People, for the longest time, thought of octopuses as these, like, strange, alien, scary things, not someone you could be friends with. But I think the octopus is a great ambassador for all of the sea's creatures. Their minds work remarkably like our own, which you would not think if you looked at how different our bodies are. But every octopus, folks, keepers who've known octopuses know that each one is an individual, and this is often reflected in their names. Not every fish in the aquarium has a name. But every octopus does, even if it's just something behind the scenes. And sometimes it's something like Lucretia McEvil, because that octopus takes apart the tank.
Yeah.
You know, another one was named Leisure Suit Larry because his arms were all over you. And another was Emily Dickinson. They named her that because she wouldn't come out from behind the filter. But I think that octopuses also show us that there's far more intelligence and emotion going on in the individual lives of animals around us than we are initially prepared to look for. And maybe they will teach us to recognize that our whole world and our sea is alive with these magnificent incandescent lives that have so much to show.
Now, there has to be an octopus named Ringo Starr, right?
Oh, I'm sure there's many of them.
Yeah.
He was right, by the way, in the octopus's garden. Octopuses, some species do kind of tend a garden in front of their lair. And they'll use their siphon, with which they jet through the sea, like a leaf blower, to throw away, you know, trash that gathers in front of their little home. Ringo Starr was right.
I love it. Of all the sea creatures, they are the only ones who are Beatles worthy.
Oh boy, yeah. I wonder if I would just love to introduce Ringo Starr to an octopus and get him to feel their questing suckers as I have on my skin as they are tasting you and feeling you at the same time, exploring you with the same curiosity that you feel about them.
And the new book, it's called Secrets of the Octopus. It is now available wherever books are sold. We've been visiting with the author, Cy Montgomery, and this was so much fun. Please come back, and we will chat octopus anytime.
Great, Ryan. You bet. I'm right there.